Well, good morning. You know, God is doing something amazing in America right now, and he's actually doing something that we haven't seen in over 30 years as a country. There's a group called Barna Research that's been tracking Christian trends for a lot of decades now, and they've been noticing this, and because of all the things that they've tracked and they've recognized and they've realized, they published an article on April 7th of this year that says this, right? This is what the article says. It's like new research. Belief in Jesus rises, fueled by younger adults. See, like for 30 years, for the last 30 years, up until 2021, Christianity was actually on the decline in America. And then in 2021, it started to level out. And now, some of the newest research is saying that Christianity is actually, it's turning around, right? The tide is turning on Christianity in America because of what God's doing, really in Gen Z and across the country. And people are waking up to what God is doing. Right, God is working and God is moving, and it's amazing to see and to be part of it. But what's cool to see is that God, what God is doing in America and what he's doing across the country is not just unique to the country. It's actually happening here at WCC, right? Like Nate shared in the host moment a little bit ago, we saw 55 people get baptized last week, right? And almost over 200 people in the last calendar year say that I want to go public with my faith. And I'm going to show this church that I'm ready to follow Jesus with my life, right? God is doing an amazing thing. And in between the baptism and the celebration, I got to talk to quite a few people who got baptized, but there was one story that really stood out. There was this person who came up and said, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't grow up in religion or Christianity or anything. In fact, I started coming to church about a year ago. It was about a year ago that a family member invited me to church. I started coming, I started hearing about Jesus, and I said, I don't know much about this, but I know I've got to give my life to him. So I'm going to start following him, not really knowing what I'm getting myself into, right? And I love that. I love the honesty, and I love the raw, just the heart of like, I want to follow Jesus. My people are waking up to what God is doing. Right, and when we talk about what God is doing here at WCC, there's a few ways that we talk about that, right? There's this acronym called the Big Truth, right? And we've talked about this from before, but there's this, the B is the birth truth, right? What is necessary for salvation? And what is necessary for salvation? It's Jesus plus nothing, right? That's the birth truth. That's being saved. Then when God saves us, he gives us a new name. He gives us a new identity, right? That's the identity truth. It's like, who are we now as a child of God and a follower of Jesus, right? And then we get to the G, and that the G is the growth truth. And the growth truth is not what do we do or how do we live to be saved. The growth truth is how do I live because I'm saved, right? And so as a church, we it gives us some helpful handles as you read through the scriptures and as you read through the Bible to know what are the authors of scripture talking about. So over the next few weeks, we're beginning a new series today, but over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about growth truth, right? A growth truth in this series called Awakening. And in this series, Awaken, we're going to be taking a look at some of the harder truths of scripture, right, some of the things that God is calling us as Christians to do, to wake up to what God is doing and what God has been doing. So today we're going to be in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And we're going to be talking about what is it as for me as an individual, for you as an individual, what is it that God might want to wake up in you so that you and I can join him in what he's doing. Right? And then next week, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians 5 is more waking up to what God might want to do in your family, right? Your family or your relationships. Like, what does it mean to look like, to come awake to what God is doing in relationships? And then that was a letter written to the Ephesians. But then that next week, we're going to talk about a letter that was written to the church in Ephesus 30 years after that, right? To wake up to the first love. Like, what can happen when we drift from that. But as we get ready to kick this off and as we go in, we can read the scripture, we could talk about it, we can find ways to apply it, but if our hearts and our minds aren't ready and positioned to receive what God has for us, then my fear is that we will continue to be in the same position that the church in Rome kind of was at first. And so we're going to actually do this. We're going to start off this series in prayer. And here's my encouragement, my challenge to you. Are you ready to receive the difficult parts of Scripture? The hard parts of Scripture where God and His Spirit and His Word might be asking you to surrender some things. Are you positioned and ready? Like, what if God wakes you up and asks you to change? And He asks me to change. Are we ready for that? And so here's what I want to do. I just want to take some time to pray and to posture our hearts to be ready to receive what it is that God has for us. So let's take a moment to pray. God, I ask, Lord, that we would see you for who you truly are. God, we just sing this. God, you're holy forever. And God, we are your children, made in your image. And God, you've given us a purpose. That purpose is to know you and to let you, by the power of your Spirit in our lives, change who we are. God, to change us and to make us more into the image of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, as we walk through these hard truths of Scripture, God, I pray that our hearts would be open to receive it. God, that we would be, our hearts and our minds and our actions and our words and our eyes, God, everything about us and our finances and our relationships and our friendships and our jobs, God, everything that we would say is important to us and the things that we would say aren't, God, we would take these and we would surrender it at your feet. God, would your Spirit work and move in our lives and that we would be different because, God, we're waking up. God, would you wake us up to what it is that you're doing so that we can join in and we can experience the joy of the Lord, and may that be the strength that carries us through this life until we see you in eternity. It's in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So where does this idea of awaken come from? Like I said, there's a few places in Scripture, but today we're going to be in Romans 13, 11. And as you're turning there, this passage is a call for Christians to wake up from their sleep and to prepare for the day, right? It's like it's waking up. It's this picture and this image of like getting up and out of bed because the day, the sun is coming up and there's work to do. So in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, this is what we read, right? This is all the more urgent. Now, most translations start this way. It says, and this is all the more urgent. And what this means here is, before we go in the rest of verse 11, and this is actually, most scholars believe that this is actually part of one continued thought that starts in chapter 12 and goes all the way through the end of really chapter 16. And this thought is this: how do we live as followers of Christ? But here's what we know about chapter 12. This is how chapter 12 starts out. It says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that therefore actually means that it's actually based on Romans 1 through 11. So what does Romans 1 through 11 talk about? It talks about who God is and what God has been doing since the creation of the world. What has he been doing and what is he doing? So with all of this in mind, it's really Romans chapter 12 through 16 sits on top of Romans 1 through 11. And then we get to this part in chapter 13, and he says, and this is all the more urgent, for you know how late it is. And we know how late it is because we know what God is doing. Time is running out. It's wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Now, when Paul writes about salvation here, he's not talking about birth truth, right? Salvation, when we came to faith in Jesus, when that first happened, he's talking about the day of the Lord. He's talking about when Jesus comes back and we enter into eternity. Just wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. In other words, the clock is ticking towards eternity. But Paul writes with this sense of urgency because the clock is ticking, but for every single one of us, and it's ticking, but none of us know when it's going to hit zero and we stand face to face before Jesus. That's why he's writing with this sense of urgency. You know what's going on, but you don't know when it's coming. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen next week. It could happen in a few hours, and none of us know. There's a guy named Mark Cahill who, he was a honorable mention All-American basketball player at Auburn University, and he was teammates with Charles Barkley. And he was an evangelist who's traveled all around the country preaching and speaking and sharing Jesus, and he's led thousands of people to Jesus. And he wrote this book called One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven. And this is how he actually starts out the introduction to that book, which is on this very theme and this very thing. He writes, 300 million years from now, what will be the only thing that'll matter? Will it matter how much money you made? Will it matter what kind of car you drove? Will it matter who won the NCAA football or basketball title this year? I think the Buckeye fans probably do think it matters. But 300 million years from now, the only thing that will matter is who is in heaven and who is in hell. And if that is the only thing that will matter then that should be one of our greatest concerns now. What are you doing of significance today that will matter 300 million plus years from now? As Christians, are we living today in light of eternity? Are we living with this sense of urgency that Christ is coming soon? Christ is coming soon. And we don't know when that day or that moment or that time is. Or are we letting the immediate pleasures take precedent in our life? Are we letting the things in front of us distract us from true and ultimate and lasting purpose? It's not saying these things are necessarily bad things, but when good things become the main thing, then that's what makes it become God in our life. See, my fear is this. My fear is that Christians in America today, and maybe some of us, and maybe even some of us here, are Christians that are asleep, right? You're saved, but you're asleep, just like the early church in Rome. And my fear is not just that we have Christians that are asleep, but my fear is also this, that we are hitting the snooze button on doing life with God until we meet God face to face in eternity. It's like I'm going through the motions of the everyday, just waiting until I get to heaven. And then I'll live life with God. What's going on here is Paul is saying, it's time to wake up. The salvation is nearer, right? The day of the Lord is nearer than when we first believed. There is a purpose that God has for every single one of us. And he's calling us all into this life. When Jesus said, I came, he said, I came that they may have life and life to the full. In other words, there's this purpose that God has for you and for me. But the question is, will you and I, will we wake up to what God wants to do in our lives and how he wants to use every single one of us? So we get to this place and we see that Christ is coming soon. And the question is, will we wake up to what he is doing? Because I have one last fear. I don't want to just preach from fear, but I have one final fear. And my fear is this, that you and I, that Jesus might be the best kept secret in our life. That I said, I've given my life to him, but I don't want to really see him change things in my life. Yeah, I placed my faith in Jesus, but I want enough of Jesus to get to heaven, but not enough to where it actually begins to transform who I am so that I can begin to live for him. See, Jesus is coming soon, and Paul, he carries this thought. He carries the metaphor of it's time to wake up into verse 12. See, when we wake up, it's not just waking up. So the call is not to just wake up and get out of bed. It's to actually prepare for the day. And this is how he continues on. Verse 12, he writes, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation will be here soon. So remove your dark deeds, like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in darkness, the darkness of wild parties, in drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity, or immoral living, or in quarreling or jealousy. So he continues it on and he talks about this. But before we go on, I need to admit something. When it comes to fashion advice and what clothes you should choose and wear and what looks good together, I'm probably the last person you ever want to ask advice from. Right? So this is like, I'm actually horrible when it comes to fashion advice and choosing clothes and what looks good together. And in fact, when I was in high school, my sister and I, we had a pact, right? We had an agreement that she had absolute veto power on my outfit for the day. Right? And this actually started because this actually happened one time. This is embarrassing to admit. I was getting ready to walk out of the house with red basketball shorts and an orange shirt. And some of the ladies, I see your eyes went big, and some of the guys, you're just like, what's the big deal, right? So, but she had absolute veto power on this. But here's the deal. Like, I have bad fashion taste, but it's not bad enough to recognize what Paul is writing here. He's talking about the contrast of the clothes that we wear. And I love the contrast here because he talks about this. He carries the metaphor far because in that day and in that time, they didn't have electricity. They didn't have air-conditioned buildings. They would, a lot of people, when they worked and they would go to work, they would work in the heat of the day. So people started to learn about this. So what they would do is they would actually wake up before the sun would come up. And when they would wake up, they would actually prepare to go to work. They would take off their clothes and then they would put on new clothes to go to work. And he's carrying this same idea and this same metaphor into this as Christians. As Christians, it's time to not just wake up, but to change our clothes. And he says, to put off the dirty deeds of dark living and to put on the shining armor of light. And as human beings, as Christians, there's times where the desires of the flesh like to try to tend to creep back in. It's the temptations that I thought I surrendered, but that continue to rear their ugly heads. I love how C.S. Lewis writes this. I mean, as people, we're prone to settling for shallow and temporary pleasures rather than pursuing a deeper and an intimate joy that can only be found in Jesus. And C.S. Lewis captures this idea in his book called The Weight of Glory. And he writes this. He says, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, right, the desires of the flesh, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is to be offered to us, kind of like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday or vacation at the sea. We as humans are far too easily pleased. Right, as Christians, it's the deeds of darkness, these dirty clothes that God has called us to remove. And not just remove for ourselves and for our sake, but to go on and live our lives so that other people can see. In other words, the way that we live tells a story. And the question is, whose story is it going to tell? Right? We don't go on living a new life and a good life to make ourselves the hero of the story. It's to make Jesus the hero of our story. Right? We're going to read in verse 14, it says, be clothed in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to read that in a minute, but why do we live different? Why do we live changed when the Spirit works in our heart and he begins to take our desires and we surrender not just the desires of our hearts, but our mind and our thoughts and our actions in our eyes, and we surrender those at the feet of Jesus. We say, God, come in and transform these desires. These desires aren't bad things. It's God, take these desires and turn them and use them for good. God, would you redeem them? Would you sanctify them? Would you grow them so that they look like I'm following you? And not just so it looks like I'm following you, but God, like, actually change me. God, come into the deepest, darkest pits of the heart in the mind and the actions. And God, would you take it and would you transform it? God, would you allow me to even begin to see people the way that you see them? God, not from judgment or condemnation or hatred, but from the foundation and the place of love. And the realization that God is the only one who gets to accurately define love, right? I'm not going to define love based on how the culture is, right? This is all countercultural, right? The culture likes to define love in whatever way feels good to you and your desires, and you get to be the determiner of what's good and right and holy and pleasing to God, when in fact, there's no guessing game. God lays it out in his word. And so it's saying, God, would you let the truths of the word sink in to my heart? And God, let me begin to walk in the ways that you would have for me. Christ is coming soon. And we're going to stand before him. And not only are we going to stand before him, but the people around us are going to stand for him. And that moment is going to be a permanent seal for the rest of eternity. Right? We don't get to go back 100 million years into heaven and get a second chance. We don't get to change our mind into that at that point. It's, do we recognize that Jesus is the Son of God? That he came, that he gave his life, that he died to pay the penalty for my sins. And not just to pay the penalty for my sins, but to offer me new life, right? To bring me so that we can begin to see what Paul wrote in Galatians, where he writes that this life that I now live, it's no longer me who's doing the living. It's Christ in me. It's his life and it's his light that's showing through me. I don't have to manufacture it. I don't have to fake it. I don't have to pretend like I've got it all together. It's actually God living in me and living through me by the power of his Holy Spirit. And we begin to discover, what does it mean to follow Jesus in a world that's opposed to him? What does it look like to surrender to him on day in and day out? And as Christians, that brings us to the point where we have to ask ourselves a few questions. But number one is, if you and I were to take an honest inventory of our lives, kind of like we do our closets, we're gonna do that here in a few months, right? We're gonna get our fall clothes ready. We're gonna go through our closet and we're gonna get our fall clothes in and we're gonna pull our summer clothes out. We gotta take inventory. But if we were to take inventory of our lives, like we will our closets in a few months, where is it that we're settling for less than God's best? Where is it in our lives that it's like, I need to surrender this part of my life? Maybe it's your marriage, your relationship, your family. Maybe it's your finances, man. God, I'm gonna start putting you first in my finances, in my relationships. God, in my work. God, in my desires, in the way that I think about other people, in the way that I speak to other people, God, would you redeem that? Would you transform that in my life? But where is it that we are settling for less than God's best? Because we sometimes, if we're honest, we settle for garbage when we were made to carry the glory of God. So where is it that we're settling for less than God's best? And the second question is, why is it? Like, why is it? And that's the million-dollar question as Christians. Like, why do I keep running back to these things that, just like all the way back in the Garden of Eden, when Satan was talking to Eve and Adam, he was over-promising and under-delivering on the satisfaction of the temptation of eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right? And you will find ultimate joy. God's holding out. Just trust me. If you just run back to this thing, it'll give you this temporary pleasure. We're not going to talk about the conviction and the shame or the guilt that the enemy is going to bring after the sin. Let's just talk about the temporary satisfaction that it's going to bring. Man, why do we run back to these things? But the beauty of the gospel is this. Jesus came to die for the penalty, the payment, to pay for those sins so that we no longer have to run back over and over and over again. He brought us out of the grave so that we don't have to run back into the grave and pick the chains up and shackle ourselves back to those. Jesus came to break every chain so that we can live life and we can live it to the full. It's not our best life now, but it's saying, God, if I'm gonna be spending eternity with you, then let me spend time with you in your presence today. And that's what Paul does. Paul carries the encouragement into verse 14. I love this. He says, instead of participating in the darkness and wearing the dirty clothes, he says, instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Paul knows this. Christ is coming soon. And as Christians, it's time to wake up. God is working. God is moving. God is doing a work, and he's going to do it whether we're awake or asleep. But the question is this: will we wake up so that we can surrender, so that we can join in to see what God is doing, so that it's not just this, God is doing something out there in America, but God is doing something right here in Warsaw and in Kosciuszko County, and it's saying, God, I want to see you work and move, but I also want to see you work and move in me. God, I surrender these things and I lay them down at your feet. As a church, we are entering into a new season of time, right? We're getting ready to start back into growth groups. We got all these different ways that we want to help you grow in your relationship with Christ and share the hope of the gospel. But if we do inventory, we realize there's some things I need to lay down at Jesus' feet, because there's some things he wants to do in my heart, my life. But if I'm continuously distracted by those things, I may miss out on what he might be inviting me into. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to end the message with this. We're going to take some time to just sit and pause and actually meditate on verse 12. Right? We're going to have verse 12 put back on the screen. And it reads this. It says, the night is almost gone, and the day of salvation will be here soon. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, right? And then it goes on in verse 13. But I want us to meditate on verse 12. Because as we think and we reflect, there's some garbage we got to take out. And so that we can see the thing that God might be calling us into, right? It's taking off the dirty clothes and it's putting on the armor. Just like people back then would wake up and they would put their clothes on and get ready for the day, they would do that in the presence of God, right? It is, clothe yourself with the presence of God. Don't just be so concerned about going to do work for God that you miss about doing work in the presence of God, that you do it with him by the power of his spirit in your life. And so we want to take some time to sit and to think and meditate and reflect on that. And as we do, there's be a moment of silence. Tiffany's going to play, but for you, maybe it's sitting here. Maybe you're in seventh grade and you're sitting here thinking, I'm going to be going into middle school, right? There's a lot of things. There's a lot of changes, a lot of newness. You're like, God, I want to go into this next year in your presence. Maybe you're in seventh grade. You're not too young to walk in the presence and the power of God. Maybe you're in high school and you're sitting here and you're thinking, I've got all kinds of temptations at my fingertips. And it's not just at my fingertips. I've got all kinds of things available. God, here's what I want to do. I want to, at the beginning of the year, you've set me apart. Now, God, I want to live set apart, and I want to follow you. God, I'm going to say no to that. Maybe you're getting ready to go to college in a few weeks, and you think back on this last year, and over and over again, you were choosing the parties over the presence of God and pursuing him. Or maybe you're an adult, you're growing up, you got a job, and you realize it feels like I'm going through the mundane. I wake up, I go to work, I come home, I eat dinner, I play with the kids, and it just feels like this over and over and over again. Whatever stage of life you're in, may we go into this next season with Christ at the forefront of our lives. So I want to take some time to sit and think and reflect, where is it that I need to surrender and make Christ not just the Savior? He didn't just save me, but is he the Lord of my life? And then after that time, I'll finish in prayer and we'll finish with a song. So let's pray. Take some time. despite our sin, that you sent your one and only Son to die for us in our place so that we could be in that right relationship with you. God, thank you for saving us from our sin and giving us new life. God, you gave us new life and you've given us your Spirit so that we can have the power to walk in that new life. God, I pray that we as people, as children of God, as sons and daughters of the one true King, God, that we would live every day in light of eternity and realize that your Son, Jesus, is coming soon. God, I pray that you would plant seeds of urgency in every single one of us to know that we don't know when our time is up on this earth. But God, thank you that you've given us a purpose, that until that time, God, we have purpose and you have a plan for our lives and you have a desire for all of us is to know you more and to make you known. God, we lay the things and the parts of our lives that we don't want shared with anybody. God, we lay these down at your feet and we know that, God, you've already paid for those. And so, Lord, let us put those things down and pick up the purpose that you lay out in your word, that we would begin to live with this sense of holy urgency that there are people who still don't know you in our own community, let alone the rest of the world. God, may we live on mission. God, may we wake up to what it is that you're doing. You're already doing it. So God, may we join in on what you're doing. And God, we're not doing this on our own strength, but we are calling on the God who's over and over and over again from the Old Testament to the New Testament to the history of the church. God, you have been working and moving in people's lives and you've been calling people to yourself. Lord, I pray that we would call on you to give us the strength to do what it is that you've called us to do. It's in Jesus' name, amen. Thank God for his goodness and his faithfulness. And that's my hope and prayer that we would walk in that goodness, right? The goodness of God. And so as we get ready to head out, I want to send us with this. All right, may the love of God, the peace of Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you as you head out this week. You're dismissed.